As long as I look sexy, that's all I care about.
You look great. I'm competing for the second best looking dude in the room right now.
Oh, I don't think that's true. You're third. I'm just kidding.
Hilarious. Ready?
Yeah, let's do it, bud.
Here we go. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Isaac Abrams Show. I'm your host, Isaac Abrams. Today's very special guest, writer, producer, actor, podcaster, and stand-up comedian, Rob Puglisi.
Hey.
Welcome to the show, Rob.
What's up, buddy? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming, man.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Yeah, I wish we'd had these mics at the Cigar Lounge yesterday.
I know. We had some good stuff going.
Yeah, we could have maybe done like an audio-only kind of thing.
I feel like it was good, though, because we don't really know each other to like kind of break it in a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and you want to save the good stuff so that we can possibly make money off it, because that's what our job is.
That's true. Yes, yeah. It's all about the clips.
Yeah, you can't have genuine connections. No. I don't want to have a genuine connection unless we're getting clicks.
I don't want to know you.
No. What the fuck? Are you crazy?
Yeah.
As deep as it's going
to
go.
Well, I want it to seem like we're friends and very cordial.
Yeah.
For the clicks.
For the clicks.
Let's say controversial stuff. Mm-hmm. Actually, I had to cut out an hour of blackface jokes on my last episode. And it took me like 6 hours.
You told me. Yeah. That's unfortunate. Yeah. I've been trying to work in a blackface joke into my act.
Yeah.
Not actually being in blackface.
Right. Just start slowly. Just start painting your face.
How funny would that be? For me and probably no one else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of working.
How much... No, I don't want to do that. I was going to say, how much can you start painting your face before... Like, how much? What's the percentage of makeup you can put on your face before it's...
There's some kid... I don't want to ruin his joke. I don't want to say it because it's some other dude's joke, but it's very funny. But I think it's... I'd say 30% is really where you're starting to risk it.
Yeah, like NFL players like with just under right. the eyes or like...
Perfectly okay.
Yeah. Are you talking about the Schultz joke?
Is that the Navy SEALs one?
Yeah.
No. I was a different guy, but that one's funny.
Very funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's we did a dumb little sketch where my buddy, we do like stupid Instagram sketches, and my buddy came out dressed like Barbie. And he was like, "We're going to see Barbie." And then I was dressed up like I had been blown up. And I was like, "I thought we were seeing Oppenheimer." And I put like face paint on.
Right.
And it was almost too much.
Right. You got to be careful.
Yeah. Like it looked like I was like blown up, but I was getting into the realm of, you know, losing my career.
Does that now was that on the Red Rob Roy show?
We have that. That's on Amazon. We just finished the fifth episode, but no, that sketch is on just my Instagram. We do like little. We try to do one or two a week, just dumb Instagram things.
Do they go on YouTube too?
Yeah, like the shorts.
Yeah. What about the Amazon thing? You said episode 5 is out now?
No, it's not out. We had been shooting sketches for a couple of years while I was doing stand-up, and we got some producer guy to like it, and he gave us a couple of bucks, like not a lot, but enough so that we could make it without paying for it. And we have two episodes that are on Amazon, and then we shot three more and just finished filming. So we're in editing for those three, and it's going to take, you know, however fucking long it takes. But
so so it wasn't like you shot the whole season? And
no.
They just go up when you put them up?
Yeah. Yeah, we had two. We put them up, and then we got a what's that called when somebody like
a Peabody Award?
Yes, no Nobel. We got a Nobel Prize.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
yeah. Peace.
Yeah, for our many dick jokes. Yeah. But no, we got a distribution deal. That's what it was.
Oh, cool.
So then we had to have five episodes though, because apparently that's a season, and that's what they do. So yeah. We finished three and editing, blah blah blah. Not interesting, but you know.
Whatever. I mean, I think. This audience is interested in filming stuff and how to's and
that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah. This started kind of as like a film business thing. Season one was all like camera operators and actors and comedians. And then last season was all comedians. And then this season is just,
whoever. How interesting is camera operator podcasting?
Oh, I'll tell you what, boy,
you guys get deep into the nitty gritty.
This guy was the dude who operated the arm on what's called a Russian arm. So there's a Porsche or a Mercedes that has a crane arm on top of it.
Uh-huh.
He was the operator that rotated the crane.
Oh, you know, that's Tony. He's infamous.
Yeah, fucking Tony, right? Yeah. There's only one.
Tony Russian arm. Yeah,
it's a Russian Tony.
That guy's huge.
Yeah, so that was, I mean, that did numbers. We got 60 or 70.
He's the Scorsese of the rotating camera.
Yeah, he's never rotated into a telephone pole. That's what he's famous for.
It's very rare, too.
Yeah, there's three guys in the world that do it.
So, really? Yeah. Is that true?
It's true.
That's sick.
Well, there's three companies that own the cars, and there's maybe five or six guys that operate the arm.
It's for like... shooting like chase scenes and that kind of thing.
Yeah, car to car. You know, so the this is the boring part, but
I'm interested.
Yeah, so yes, chase scenes. Yes,
cool. That's sick.
It was pretty cool. Yeah, I liked it. So
I think anything outside of stand-up now is interesting to me.
Yeah.
Anything outside of comedy, I'm like, oh, really? That's fascinating.
Right. I think we may be polar opposites because everything inside of the film business is currently boring the literal fuck out of me.
I get that.
Especially now that we're not working.
Right.
But I've been beating up writers and actors for the last couple episodes, so I'm going to give them a pass.
Well, they deserve it, you know?
They do.
Yeah, 100% deserve it.
I'm going to stay on this track just to maintain continuity, but I think that, and I don't know, I may change my mind, but I think in good faith, there's a better, like, just, I don't believe in strikes.
Yeah.
I just don't think, like, nah, I want my way. I just think you should stay at the table until you figure it out.
Yeah, I don't know enough about it, honestly, to give a hard opinion, but I will. I feel like they are pussies and should all... No, I don't know.
That's the fastest way to get clicks these days.
I have a hard time with it. I understand, like, somebody was talking about it yesterday, I think. Maybe it was you or one of the other guys, about, like, how little they're actually getting paid.
Yes, I overheard your conversation with that person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But where I come from, it's like, dude, I grew up in New England, like, middle class, the lower middle class, and most of the people I knew did roofing for a living.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, but like, that's a job.
Right.
So you get, I know I have a girlfriend who's a writer and she gets like 70 grand for working for 3 months. And mm-hmm. It's like, okay. I know that's the high end. Maybe I don't know enough about it, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, I'm like, yeah, the people I grew up with, like, you work for 12 hours for $100 and that was just like a decent job.
In the snow.
In the snow and in the middle of summer.
On a roof.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are harder ways to make a living.
Yeah.
That's for sure. That doesn't mean that they absolutely don't deserve compensation.
For sure.
I believe they're entitled to everything that they're asking for. I just disagree with the method that they're going about it.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't know enough about it and whatever.
Neither do I. Somebody the other day told me I was on the wrong side of history. So I'm just some fucking chucklehead that just has a fucking little show on the internet.
Yeah, but what's the point of podcasting if you can't say outlandish shit and stand behind it?
It's true. I should just pick one specific writer and be like, everybody deserves it, but this guy. Yeah.
Ted Salandro.
Yeah.
He's a piece of shit.
Aaron Sorkin's got enough money. Fuck that dude.
I know.
Were you the creator of the Red Rob Roy show?
Co-creator? Well, yeah, we all are. Me and my buddy, it's me, my friend Richard Roy, my other buddy Pat Simone. And I've known Richard since we were 12. We grew up together. And then the other dude, Pat, I met out here. And him and I shot like a little short, like, 10-second sketch, and we liked it, and so we kept doing it, and then brought Richard on, and yeah, so we all write it. Everybody writes, everybody directs, everybody kind of, we all act in it. Pat's like the real brains behind the shooting and all that stuff, because he's a videographer. Rich has a background in sound, so that's pretty cool, and I'm, you know, the talent, obviously.
I mean, clearly.
The looks and the talent, the genius.
Could have gone unsaid. Clearly also the most attractive member of the...
Yeah, I feel like it needs to be said, you know, because it's all I got, really.
Somebody has to say it.
I know. Not enough people are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough being handsome fellas.
You have no idea. Like I said before.
You have no idea. No, is the best thing anyone has said to me all day.
No, you're a very good looking man.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
What a setup there I just did.
You are, though.
Just mining for compliments.
Do we want to go? Can you talk about the recent thing or no? Relationship stuff?
Oh, yeah, but I beat that up on this show.
Already happened?
Yeah, I mean, it's been happening all summer.
Gotcha.
It's been on and off, so.
Okay.
Do you want to talk about your thing?
No.
Okay.
No, I only...
What if this was a mafia podcast where we only say the thing about everything, but you know the thing and I know the thing?
I don't know nothing.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
A bunch of guys keeping their mouths closed for 2 hours.
Hey, I know nothing.
That's actually a funny sketch idea.
Yeah, mafia podcast.
Yeah. You know about Tony, right?
Yeah.
I don't know about Tony.
I don't know nothing.
I don't know either, but I heard some things. Hey. I didn't hear nothing.
Yeah, our friend is among us.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's that guy that you vouch for.
So funny.
Yeah. Oh, man, a silent mafia podcast. Feel free to put that in your show.
I think we might. That's actually a decent idea. And I don't like writing, so.
Yeah. Oh, dude. I speaking of writing, now we're going to talk about comedy because I just segued into it. I hate writing comedy.
Yeah. Stand-up or all of it?
Stand-up. I don't write anything else.
Okay.
I want to. I want to be like a show creator and like go shoot sketches and stuff.
Dude, I mean, the stuff you already know how to do. Like, the hardest part is the technical part of it.
Yeah.
I think.
I've been doing the technical part of it at a different podcast studio all day, and my brain is fried.
Yeah.
He was like, how do you know all this stuff? I'm like, well, I failed a lot on really big podcasts.
I ended up here.
And here I am.
Yeah.
Getting all these clicks. You had a pod for a while, yeah?
Yeah. We abandoned it. Just because I was going through like a tough time and it was hard to show up once a week for an hour and pretend like, hey, this is great. I'm having a good time. Let's interview people.
Yeah.
And I got tired of the format. It was me and my buddy. And yeah, I don't want to fucking care about. It's fun if it's like somebody I like and like we're getting along and having a good time. But it's when I have a very difficult time pretending to give a shit if I don't. Or if like,
yeah.
I like wear my emotions on my sleeve. So if I'm like not enjoying myself, it's very evident.
And yeah.
I can't fake it. So if like we had somebody on that was just tough to talk to, it was, I don't know.
Yeah.
It was a bummer.
Did not to keep referencing Andrew Schultz, but did you see his clip from the Nelk Boys podcast this week?
Yeah, I don't know who any of those fucking people are outside of Schultz, but it was pretty funny.
Yeah. Just so for those of you at home, one of the Nelk Boys checked his text while he was interviewing Andrew Schultz.
Is that what pissed him off so much?
Something, because then he asked some kind of half-assed question after that, and Schultz was like, what am I doing here?
Yeah, I saw him like, I felt kind of bad, because the kid's like 20 what?
I don't know. They're just instantly famous for like doing like YouTube pranky stuff.
Yeah.
And then they started a podcast, as one does after you grow out of your YouTube phase.
Sure. Yeah.
And they're just insanely famous and they have a line of everything.
Yeah.
In fact, I've been pitched like, we're the next Nelk Boys by like hundreds of people.
What? Really?
Oh, God. Yeah. Everybody wants me to come shoot like Nelk Boys like stuff.
Who the fuck are... I've never heard of them.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you look up like top YouTubers, it's like, you know, Mr. Beast... And it's like the Paul brothers. Yeah. And then they're, you know, they're top 30, 50, top 100 YouTube guys.
It's so weird, like the like hierarchy of fame. Like there's guys who are infinitely famous that no one's ever heard of.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
Yeah, like PewDiePie, the video game guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He put up something like a month ago. It's like, I'm leaving YouTube. It's got like 100 million views.
Yeah. That dude, I think, made like, yeah, he makes like $60 million a year or some insane amount of money.
Yeah, I think somebody stole him from Twitch. I think it was Google. They paid him $50 million to like stream on another platform that had no viewers, and he did his whole contract and went back to Twitch.
What a life.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, here we are trying to write jokes like a couple of suckers.
Fucking idiots.
Dumb.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for my $60 million, like a call her daddy contract.
I know. We should just be hot. We should just be hot chicks and talk about dick.
We could just identify as hot chicks.
I think that would help. I think that's a start in this generation.
It could work.
We could come out as, you know, non-binary or whatever. But I think having big fat tits really helps you on the podcast.
It doesn't hurt. And I won't name any names.
I will.
No. I was hoping you'd say the exact pod I'm thinking of.
Right, I don't watch enough of those. I mean, the Call Her Daddy one's the only one I think of.
Yeah, that's actually a really interesting story. And it, like, a lot of people are just like, she came out of nowhere and got $60 million. I mean, she was signed to...
Was she a Barstool?
Yes.
Girl? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that... But I think they're by their ninth episode, they were getting a couple hundred downloads, a couple hundred thousand downloads.
But so, dude, so much... I know, girl, like, yeah. I respect girls who are in comedy who don't do that route of like, you know, like pure whatever, like sexualization.
Mm-hmm.
I don't disrespect the chicks who do it either.
Yeah.
I don't care. Like this business is brutal.
And yeah.
Make your fucking money.
Make your money.
But I do respect the girls who don't do it. But if I was that girl, like in that position like that, I would 100% go down the slut road.
Bro.
100%.
These feet would be in Jell-O and peanut butter every single morning.
Dude. I would be sitting on cakes on podcasts.
Bro.
In a hot tub on Twitch.
Anything I can think of.
Talking Dick. That'd be the name of my podcast.
Talking
Dick.
Talking Dick. Welcome back to Talking Dick.
Yeah, yeah. I'd have like early morning broadcaster radio stuff, but
just Talking Dick. You should just start another solo podcast called Talking Dick.
Talking Dick.
Yeah, with your friend Richard. That was the best courtesy laugh I've ever heard.
No, it was a real one. It was a real one. I swear. I don't fake laugh. I can't. I told you, I can't.
Yeah, good. So I know they're authentic.
Yeah, I fucking, oh man, I don't know. Who was the girl that you were going to say?
Oh, I'm going to bleep this.
Go ahead.
It's the with,
oh, no. Yeah.
That's going to be a long bleep.
Yeah.
Or I'll scrub through this and forget to bleep it, and it's just going to be out on the internet.
Oh, don't do that.
Yeah. No. I have a buddy in New York that's obsessed with one of those two. I won't say which. Mm-hmm. And he's in town this week from New York, and he's like, do you want to go to the Comedy Store? And I'm like, no. He's like, what about tonight? I'm like, no.
Is he a comic?
No, he's an editor. He's a director editor.
I think, well, we should stop talking about it if you're going to delete it, right?
I can cut as much as of this.
I like him a lot. I think he's fucking hilarious.
I've only met the two of them when I didn't know who they were.
Yeah.
I can keep this part in, at Skankfest last year.
Uh-huh.
I went with a friend of mine.
Yeah.
We had played Denver with another comedian that we were on tour with. We stopped through Vegas on the way home. So I'm with my female comedian friend, and she introduces me to both of them, and I have no idea who they are. And then the three of them just kind of close me out of the conversation, and I'm just kind of standing there. Yeah.
That's the way it goes. Yeah. No, I think she's really, I think they're, I don't know, dude, whatever. I think it's hard to like be, I've been doing comedy so long that like when somebody's a genuinely good joke writer, which I think is, it's like rare. And I'm for me at least to be like, oh shit, she's like fucking legitimately very funny.
Yeah.
And that's like across the board with everybody. Cause I'm this, dude, joke writing sucks and I hate it. And I do it like rarely and it's difficult. And I mostly just rely on attitude, which isn't the best way to do things. But so when somebody's like good at it and like consistent, I appreciate that.
Yeah. But I mean, back to your earlier point, if you had the opportunity to be like, if you put your hairy thumbs on the internet, we'll give you $4,000 a week or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. You can literally do, like, I know some girls that do that where it's not like they don't do nudity, but they have an OnlyFans or whatever and they like pay rent with it.
Yeah.
That's such a freeing thing to not have to worry about.
I mean,
and then pursue this shit more.
Yeah. I mean, any side hustle we can get that brings in income to free us up to do our art. I'm all about it.
Yeah. And now it's weird. Like nowadays, it's just like most of the girls I feel like I know are like part-time porn stars also. And it's just like, meh, whatever.
What kind of, how does one matriculate amongst part-time porn stars? Can I reveal that you don't drink? Or I can bleep that out.
Yeah. Oh, I don't care.
So you're not hanging out at bars, like meeting, that's where I would assume porn
stars.
No,
when I mean that, I mean like, you know, OnlyFans or whatever. Or like, yeah, they post like more than racy photos on a Patreon or something.
Oh, gotcha.
Like within the realm of sex stuff for money.
Like home-based.
Yeah.
They're not driving out to Burbank and like
No. Not the chat worst ladies, but
yeah. Which incidentally moved to like Finland or the Netherlands for a while.
Yeah, they got rid of the condom thing. Really kind of, LA sucks.
Yeah.
I can't believe we voted to have condoms in porn. That's ridiculous.
And no vapes.
In porn?
At all.
Oh.
In real life.
That was my main kink, was vapes and porn.
Yeah. You got to blow vape into the condom before
porn vape.
I just like to see men and women just sitting around vaping.
That's my thing. Yeah. Fully clothed in Amish gear, Amish attire, vaping.
Which I can just fully get on Instagram for free.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's my whole feed is just...
Just Amish vaping.
Fully clothed Eskimo, Alaskan people just... And then you can't tell if they're done vaping or if it's just cold outside.
Right. That's why it's so sexy.
Yeah. You're like, are they going to...
The mystery is really what turns you on.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Will they pass out?
That's the third pod we're going to do.
Right.
Talking dick and will they pass out?
And the mafia.
The mafia wants gold.
Yeah.
Dude, that's a gold.
Do you want to put a note in your phone so you don't forget?
I'll remember. That's okay. Very funny.
You got a better memory than me.
I will.
I put everything in my calendar.
I'm bad at that stuff, like shows. I rely, when it comes to shows, I rely on the person messaging me the day before to tell me.
Wow.
Yeah, if I don't, sometimes I just don't go.
Wow. I heard a comic today talk about a very big comic, and they were like, if you have this person on your show, you better have a backup comic in the audience.
Yeah, there's a lot of dudes that, especially the guys who are busy,
mm-hmm.
they just like double book or whatever. That happens a lot.
Yeah, or a show's running late, you know, you're trying to get from set to set to set to set.
Right.
And then, yeah.
I feel like that's more of a thing in New York than out here, probably.
But they're more fluid about it in New York. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Well, you spent some time there, didn't you?
I have been there a couple of times, but only as a videographer. I haven't done any sets in New York City.
You just started doing stand-up, you said.
I have,
a couple years ago.
Yeah, short and sweet version of it is I started when I was 39, produced a show for my 40th birthday, paid all the comics, didn't know you had to do that.
You don't, but you should.
I paid them all $50.
That's great.
To do 15 minutes. Most of them did 6 to 7 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
And then I couldn't get my shit together, so I ended up hosting. And then once I'd gone through every comic that I had booked, all the other comics that had showed up had gotten time, three comics from the club wanted to go up. They got time. Then I sat up there in my suit for my birthday. I sat on the stool and just told stories for an hour. It's the best time I ever had.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah, I just love just chilling and talking. I don't really, the whole like, I got to be funny now, the whole clown act of it.
Yeah, that took a while for me to like, because it seems so disingenuous.
Yeah.
But once you like just accept that that's the reality, it's easier.
Yeah. I'm looking for a better segue into like establishing the rapport with the audience that these are going to be stories from my life and that I didn't just think of them right now. It's more of a one-man show than the whole, oh, just, here's something that happened yesterday when it didn't.
Right.
It happened 3 years ago and right. You wrote it down. And so.
But there's, dude, I mean, there's storyteller comics.
There sure are. There sure are. And I want to be one of them. But then I feel like when I run my shit in LA, everybody's like, oh, you're just telling Hollywood stories. But when I do those on the road in the middle of nowhere and people are like, wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I feel like a fake in LA telling Hollywood stories, but I feel great sharing my Hollywood stories in the flyover states.
Do you tell, do you use like the names of the people, like
the celebrities and yeah, stuff? Yeah, 100%.
I think that stuff's interesting.
Yeah. It's like embarrassing shit I've done in front of The Rock and like the time. I don't know. It's just all.
I like that shit.
I do too. And I think some people like it and some people don't. And the people that don't like it can don't have to listen.
Is that real or is that in your head?
As far as listening to this show or are you talking about stand-up?
No, as far as saying like when you do it here, people don't give a fuck.
That's probably in my head.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's where I exist mostly. Is yeah, in my head when I'm like, "This is the way it is," and then it turns out that that's just something I made up.
Yeah, this is the way you think it is for now.
Right.
Yeah.
What was an astonishing thing to me, and this was from getting sober, was when I came to realize like how little anyone ever thinks about me ever.
Yeah, that's a big step.
It's a huge step.
Yeah, once because in my head all the time I'm constantly like, "This person doesn't like me," or yeah, "That person did this in spite of me," or.
Yeah,
that's the situation I ran into last week. I was like a completely situation that had nothing to do with me. I made it all about me, and I completely overreacted because of alcohol. So I'm actually very sober curious.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. You're saying that.
Yeah.
Is it like how well you've been drinking for whole life or what?
Yeah, since I was 15.
Is it a thing that's like in the way? You feel like? Or like, do you get out of control? That's the real.
Do I get out of control? Yes. Do I let it affect my life? Like, I won't miss work. Like, I won't drink on work nights. And I could go like 2-3 days without drinking, sometimes a week. But every once in a while, there's just that little bug right here that's like, oh, yeah, tonight's the night.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I wouldn't. My advice for anybody with sobriety is like, don't stop unless you have to. Because it's not the easiest thing to do.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. Like I wouldn't have stopped drinking if it wasn't like the last option for me.
Yeah. And that's I want to explore like, can I be more productive and successful without it?
It's weird. You probably can be, but it's that shit's strange. Like if you are actually like have alcoholism, you know, like the real thing. What's weird is like if you pass into the final stages of being a drunk and then you stop drinking, you become way more insane sober because your brain and your body is so used to operating in that, like with alcohol.
Yeah.
That when you remove it, you like are taking away your only coping strategy for reality and you just go like become way more nuts. Like yeah, you've heard of people like say somebody's a dry drunk. That's what that is it's like,
oh, they're still a little loopy because they're coming off the booze.
No, like years later.
Really?
Yeah. It's yeah, like a thing that it's like a, I don't know what it is. The, you know, in fucking recovery, it's like spiritual or whatever, but it's some type of fucked upness that you gotta keep working on. It doesn't just like go away.
Yeah. I experienced that with hallucinogenics in my early 20s.
Yeah.
I really, really abused them one summer.
Yeah.
And then I just completely stopped and I was nuts for years.
Yeah. We were talking about that. Yeah. I had that same thing. We were really young. I was like 14 and I did acid and had a really bad experience and I think it like kicked into my OCD shit. Like I get like crazy thoughts sometimes, like repetitive thoughts. And I think that was what did it. I couldn't like smoke weed after I would get panic attacks and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. Weed's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not my favorite.
No.
And someone gave me a boatload of it after I performed at the, you know, well, at a club in LA recently. And I'm like, I don't know what to do with it.
Sell it.
It's not, it's, here's the funny thing. They gave me this bag and it's like 15 bags of edibles, an ounce of weed, 80 pre-rolls, a shirt, hat, whatever.
Jesus Christ.
So I take it over to my friend's house and I'm like, after the show, I'm like, look at all this weed. It's like $1,000 worth of weed. And our other buddy was there and he runs a weed store and he's like, oh yeah, this is the cheap shit. This is maybe like $100 worth of weed. I was like, okay. I'm all bragging. Is that the?
Sounded like a vacuum.
Yeah, the cleaning lady's here. Not a soundproof studio.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, yeah, I mean, you could still sell it, I'm sure.
Yeah,
maybe. Or give it away.
Could give it
away.
Popular
guy.
Yeah.
Popular guy's giving away
weed
at a party.
Everybody I see, you get an edible.
Yeah.
You, I just give them away one at a time.
So yeah, yeah. Like
hold out your hand. Are you like,
gay? Yes.
What's
Wait,
that?
What?
I was going to say, are you sober or Cali sober? Like, do you still smoke weed now? Or
you know what's funny is I was at a show Saturday, and this girl was like, you're sober, right? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, do you do coke, though? Which is the most hilarious thing to ask.
Yeah.
Because it's not like weed. Like, that's a...
Right.
Like, yeah, I don't drink, but I smoke weed.
Right.
She was like, do you do cocaine still? No, I'm sober. I was sober for 11 years, like nothing. And then last summer, I was going crazy in a bad relationship, and I started messing with mushrooms a little. And I've done that a couple times since. But... Yeah,
I think that's more of a treatment or like a medicinal.
It can be, but if you take a half a handful and then go see Avatar 2 to fight with your girlfriend, it's not really.
Yeah, that's different.
Yeah, it's not really.
You're not going out in nature and like diving into yourself to explore thoughts and feelings.
Very recommended. If you haven't seen Avatar 2, take a lot of mushrooms and go see it.
The Way of the Water.
It was fucking great, dude.
I just saw it because it just came on HBO.
What was it like? Not on mushrooms.
Not on mushrooms? Yeah, I don't know why it took 10 years to make it.
Okay. Yeah. On mushrooms, I was like, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened
in
the history of
cinema.
Were
you blue and you could swim and hold your breath?
Dude, it was like, it was too much.
Yeah.
Because in the beginning, we saw it in like a big, like 3D, whatever.
IMAX.
I don't know if it was 3D. It was 3D. Yeah.
Yeah.
And IMAX. And it was like this beautiful, like opens in this beautiful world. And then the humans come in and destroy shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I like couldn't handle it. I was like, oh, the horrors of war. Like I couldn't take it.
Were you like scared when the war machines rolled in?
Yeah. It was like terrifying.
Yeah.
I like couldn't look. And it was great. But all in all, probably a terrible movie.
I am fully planning on taking a full dose of mushrooms on Wednesday in Las Vegas.
Oh, I did that once. And I didn't really trip, so it was whatever. But it sucks because what we did was just... It was actually at Skankfest.
Mm.
It was just a lot of walking around.
Yeah, I don't know if I would do mushrooms on Fremont Street. There's a lot of dark shit down there.
Yeah, and it was... Even like the regular, like wherever, you know, the main strip in Vegas, it's just kind of... I don't know. Mushrooms really go well with some type of nature, I feel like.
That's true. And in the Bellagio, they have a flower exhibit. So like,
that's cool.
You wind through and there's like 6 million flowers, but they make like all these sculptures.
Nice.
And the last time we did this adventure, we were like swimming on the linoleum floor, like through the flowers.
Oh, you've done it before?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I love slot machines.
Okay.
I'm like an 85-year-old lady. I like a little whiskey ginger, a cigarette. And I like to hit that button. Sometimes, you know, but if I'm on any kind of hallucinogenics in Vegas, I make sure that I have a limited amount of money on me.
That's smart.
Because you don't want to just keep feeding $100 bills into the machine to watch the little fucking munchkins run around.
Yeah.
So I try and find a penny machine.
Okay.
Play one singular line.
So you'll do mushrooms and then just slots?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, that's wild.
Especially like, okay, so not the Wizard of Oz. The Wizard of Oz is a lot of fun too. But they have these machines that like kind of wrap around with like three screens now.
Yeah.
Yellow Brick Road, Wizard of Oz.
Okay.
That's still not the name of it. Munchkins, doesn't matter.
No.
Willy Wonka. That's gotcha. What I was thinking. Willy Wonka has a random bonus.
Okay.
There's nothing you can do to earn it. It just gives it to you sometimes. And the little Oompa Loompas come out and they stretch the screen this way and that way and the sound gets louder and it is the most exciting thing.
That sounds horrifying.
Oh my God. It's so great. And then they have like a mini horse track where the horses physically run around an 8-foot track.
I like that you're doing literally like the opposite of what everybody does on mushrooms. They're like,
what is that?
You're going to take them and go into nature and find yourself.
I'm like, no, I want to go further into the machine.
In a city.
Yes.
Yeah, and become one with the fucking Matrix.
Dude,
that's funny.
I don't, if I'm sitting around a campfire, I don't know what's beyond the light of the campfire.
Yeah,
I
like
that. I do not want my mind to tell me what could be out there.
That's fair. I mean, you could do it during the day, like in a field, you know?
You know, you hear all these stories about like the doors going out to like the desert to trip. And I'm like, How did they not just get incredibly sunburned and dehydrated? That seems like the worst experience, to be like feeling like you're frying like an egg.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair. It no, must, you gotta. It's got to be the right temp. It's got to be the right setting. All that stuff. I mean, yeah. Mushrooms are fun no matter what. Honestly, mm-hmm. It's not. Acid is kind of terrifying. That's oh where, like, my god. I feel yeah. like you need a better.
Never again.
Yeah.
But. Once you start going down the path of having a bad trip on acid, all you want to do is just get one fix where you had a great one like the first time, and then you're done.
Yeah.
But what happens is they just get progressively worse.
Right.
And you see worse and worse and worse shit.
Right.
Until eventually you're like, I don't care about ever having a good one again. I just don't ever want to have a bad one ever again.
Yeah. 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 That's what happened to me. I was young and I took it and it like wouldn't end. And then I woke up the next day and my buddy came over and I was like so glad that it was over, mm-hmm. that the trip was over. And then we smoked like the dirtiest fucking swag weed and immediately I was tripping again.
Kicked
I was
right
like,
back in.
Oh no. Mm-hmm. It's horrifying. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when you have that first one, it's like the whole magical world opens up and you're like, I didn't know I could think like this or feel this way. Or
yeah.
And you're like, I'm going to remember all this stuff. We actually started audio recording all of our trips.
Did it be, was it useful after, or were you just listening to it like, oh, this is dumb?
Well, when it came down to spending our time either listening back to the last trip or tripping again, we just decided to just trip again and record.
That's how I feel about stand-up.
Yeah.
I record it and don't really listen to it.
Yeah. That's the thing. There's a lot of things people tell me to do about stand-up, and I'm like, I'm not doing the things.
Yeah, whatever, man. Just do whatever the fuck. And there's no, there really isn't. I don't know. There's people that like need to go up. I did for a while. It's whatever works for you. Like, I used to go up a lot, and then I was like, this isn't enjoyable. Like, I want to have fun, so I would not do it as much, but like do new stuff. You just got to figure out whatever works for you.
Yeah.
Not like I fucking know. I'm still.
I mean, you got a show on Amazon. That's pretty good.
It's a little bit of nothing, but you know, it's not something. But it's like about how you feel about your comedy, and I'm like pretty happy with it right now. So
there you go.
Also, go through traumatizing life events. That usually helps.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah, that usually helps write stuff. You know?
Yeah, I got all that shit. Well, not hopefully. I got a lot of that traumatizing life stuff out of the way in my 20s.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I thought I did too, and I keep seeming to walk into new situations, but
new traumas. You
know? Yeah.
What are you gonna do?
Carpe diem, baby.
You know, that is life, though.
It is life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel like sometimes, you know, there's waves, right? And sometimes you focus on some negativity and sometimes you focus on some positivity. And
yeah. Yeah, for sure. I don't fucking know, man.
Yeah. It just seems like the last 3 years, including Pandy and then into the strike, it's just being slower than I'm used to being for work and all that other shit. It's just like, got a lot more time on my hands to really kind of dive in there and do the work.
You know? Yeah, I think the pandemic's still like fucking with me because it was 2 years of doing nothing. And I realized how much I love that. And to like go back to doing like the whole grind of LA, I'm just like, I don't fucking care.
Yeah, it's like, do you want to experience what it's like to be retired?
Yeah,
well, exactly. Before you earned it?
I know, yeah.
Yeah.
Just getting a paycheck every week to
do
my dreams, which is not a lot.
Yeah.
Just sit around.
I'm more and more often thinking about getting a farm, just raising all my own food.
That'd be sick.
It would be.
Alpaca.
Oh, yeah.
Becoming like alpaca boy.
What's his name? Iron Man? Robert Downey Jr.?
He's got do that?
He's got some alpacas in Malibu.
Nice. Roseanne does that, too, I think, in Hawaii. She's got a place.
You know, I looked at, I had a buddy, that as soon as he found out that they were just going to give us money while we were locked down, he was doing van life here in LA, which is horrific, but he's bolted to Hawaii.
Oh, yeah?
He's like, mail my check. Oh, this is just going in my account? Cool, I'll file it online. Yeah, spent 2 years in Hawaii surfing.
Damn. I wish I, like, we didn't know, though. That was...
Yeah.
I didn't know, like, how long it would last or if I needed to be there, but we should have fucking done something else rather than sit in Los Angeles.
It was... I was back to work crazy fast. I think I worked my first... We were locked down on May 20th, and then I worked my first job in August.
Really?
So I had all summer off. But then I was, like, working... once, twice a month. So it was like, oh, I can't leave.
Right.
Still here. There's still work.
Commercials?
Yeah.
Shit?
Yeah.
They were operating?
Oh, I'm a director and assistant director.
Okay.
So mostly an assistant director, but every once in a while I catch a sweet, sweet directing gig.
Yeah.
So it was like, I basically like run the crew and make the schedule and call roles and cuts and stuff.
I didn't know they were doing that. I thought everything was...
Oh, no. Yeah, we actually did a comedy special for Epics called Unprotected Sets. That was a 5 or 6 day job in Burbank. And then, you know,
was that the outdoor one?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, that's how
Burr was on it, right?
No, these are all like
up and coming people.
They were headliners, but they're like B, C headliner, B, C club headliners.
Okay. Maybe I'm thinking
or some people had like written on TV and stuff.
There was one that they shot with DiStefano was on it. I think Bill Burr was on it. It was an outdoor thing. I don't remember. Whatever.
Yeah. That's where I met Ryan Sickler.
Oh, nice.
He was the host. He would interview them. They would play the interview, and then they would do time. The most horrific thing about that for the comedians was it was outside in Burbank at the golf course, that little the hideaway. That are you familiar with Burbank at all?
No.
At the top of the, so there's a golf course in Burbank called the Bell. At the top of the mountain, there's a restaurant called the Lookout, which sees all right over the Burbank Airport and all over the valley.
That's cool.
But the one thing you get out there is that if you say a joke and get no response from the audience, there's literal thousands of crickets.
Oh God!
So it's just like
that's brutal.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal.
But I would have asked. I would have asked that they edit around my punchlines that get laughs and only have crickets in. I think that'd be pretty funny. If you had 15 minutes of you bombing with crickets, that'd be pretty awesome.
You should put some crickets in your mafia podcast.
Yeah. Or something. Yeah, what do we need?
Like a little cricket with a hat on. I'm not talking to nobody. I'm smoking a cigar.
I feel like somebody had to have done that idea. It's such a good, stupid idea.
I mean, who knows? Every time I have a what I think is an original thought, I'm like, there's 7 billion people on the planet.
Yeah.
Someone must have thought of it. But the good thing for us is if you have the ability to implement, like, doesn't matter if you're the first one to think of it, if you're the first one to shoot it.
Yeah, that's true.
It's yours.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. What about you, like, as far as, are you a spiritual fella at all?
I grew up, like, ridiculously Christian.
So you still are, and you believe in the Lord?
Yes.
It definitely didn't affect your way of living at all?
Not even a little bit.
Caused you to revolt from it?
Praise be. In fact, I got to go to church right after this.
Good.
I'm going to be the next clean John Christ.
Did you, was it like a sect of Christianity or just like hardcore Christianity?
Good question. It's hard to describe. It was a denomination called the Christian and Missionary Alliance, which is more popular internationally, but they're very close to Baptists.
Okay. Baptist is cool. That's like one of the fun ones. Southern Baptists.
There were cooler ones. Gotcha. There were very progressive Christian denominations that I always thought were cooler. Mm-hmm. I just thought Catholicism was cool because it was like, go do whatever you want.
Yeah, but it's so sad.
Well, I mean, it's all sad.
Yeah, but Catholicism is specifically like you're a piece of shit and you should feel bad.
Yes.
It's what I relate to. I grew up in New England with, you know, Irish Italian people. So
yeah. Were you Catholic growing up?
No, my parents weirdly like never did any. They never baptized us or anything. Mm-hmm. It was weird because they both grew up that way. But my parents are both conservative Republicans, but for some reason they were like progressive. They're like oddly progressive in certain ways.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't go to church, nothing. It was weird.
Yeah, because I feel like I'm socially liberal and physically conservative, but I've never met anybody who is...
Physically? What do you mean? Like hitting women?
Fiscally.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
so I always say that. Yeah, I say it wrong.
Fiscally conservative? Yeah.
Yeah, but I will hit a woman.
No, for sure.
I mean...
That's how I consider my conservatism to exist.
What are you talking about? I have 3 sisters. I'm youngest. I got to keep them in line.
Oh, well, you got to. You grew up hitting ladies.
You know?
Grew up fighting them.
Well, it's a different time back then.
Yeah. No, it was allowed.
Yeah.
Encouraged, even.
If you can't tell, we're joking.
I'm not.
Okay. Well, it's my YouTube channel, so algorithm that's reading this and deciding whether or not to demonetize this episode.
Dude, that shit is so annoying. I got, like, we got a sketch that was, I'm joking, by the way, but we had a sketch that was, got fucking banned, and it's so wholesome and, like, cute and stupid, and then every other like Instagram reel I say is like some kid saying the N-word and like it has a million views.
Yep.
I don't understand what the rules are. It's so fucking annoying.
Was it banned on YouTube or Instagram?
Instagram.
Oh, yeah. I don't know anything about the disputing process on Instagram, but I know how to get stuff undisputed on YouTube.
Yeah, it's literally like one of the ones that I was like, oh, this is like, we like tiptoe around. It's weird. Like, I don't fucking care.
Oh, are you kind of like flirting at an idea or implying something?
The joke is it's me talking to my buddy and I went on a date and it's about how men after like 30 become more emotional than women, like with that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the women, so it's like me being like, oh, I had a really nice time. And it's like really like us talking kind of like girls. And then it cuts to the girls and the girl's like, how was your date? And she's like, good. We banged. And then like
Meg Noble.
Meg Noble's in, yeah, Meg Noble and Chase are in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was very funny.
I thought it was funny and it was stupid and Instagram like decided to like take it down. It's fucking ridiculous.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That was a really good one. I don't think that was sexist at all.
I don't think so either. If anything, it's the opposite.
Whose channel? Did you put it on the show's channel?
No, it was on mine.
put it on yours, huh?
Yeah, I don't know.
And you did? I mean, did you collab it with the actors?
I think so. Yeah,
that's so weird. Because I definitely saw like 3 or 4 people post that.
Yeah, it was. I was pretty happy with it, and whatever. Maybe we'll repost it.
I would,
but it already got its likes and clicks, so it's not like it really matters, right?
No, but I've heard people say that they'll repost other successful stuff. It's just like you get a new audience every 4 to 6 months. Just show it to the new people.
Yeah, we'll redo it. It might have just been like a glitch too. Like Instagram's been weird lately.
It is sometimes if you just drop it in the bucket at the wrong time, yeah. It just doesn't splash.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a really good metaphor.
That was solid.
I'm on it right now.
You really are. I'm very impressed.
This decaf is working.
Are you a decaf guy?
I am when I had so much coffee earlier today.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, I was doing a lot for a while and I've kind of calmed down. But you know what I've been trying?
What's up?
Alpha Brain.
Okay. I have been on Alpha Brain. What's your experience?
Dude, it's like real.
Yeah?
Yeah. Legitimate.
Have you tried it on an empty stomach and not eaten?
Yeah, it's terrible.
Okay.
It's nightmarish.
Yeah, not great. Yeah. It's a little shaky. Yeah. But if you eat, it's like, what's that movie with, what's his name that does the focus pill?
Oh, yeah. Titanic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sesame Street 4. Big Bird's Revenge.
Big Bird's Revenge. See that one. Limitless, yeah.
Yes.
Which no, it does. Into a TV show. It's not like Adderall at all. I used to love Adderall, but it is like, it feels like
my ability to like form thoughts like quicker exists.
Yeah.
It might be all, you know, fucking placebo because I couldn't just think of the word placebo.
Well, you're not on it right now.
No, that's true.
Have you done Magic Mind?
No, what's that?
Pete Holmes is pushing that one pretty hard. It says it's kind of like his version of, or the one he likes to take.
Similar thing.
It's a nootropic.
Dude, that's what we got. We got to get into the nootropic game.
Let's just white label some nootropics.
I love that.
Yeah. We got to take it. That's what this, we should, from now, we should try to just sell out in as many ways as possible.
We just have a line of everything merch.
Yes.
Like pens, stickers, microphones, yes.
We'll
shoes.
Get hot chicks to talk about sex. We'll push pills. We'll fight one of the Paul brothers or whatever it takes.
Again?
Yeah. I know. You kicked his ass. It's weird you guys didn't tape that.
We just wanted to do it just for us. It's in the private collection on Patreon.
Yeah.
That was so funny.
Dude.
No, I've 100%. If two hot chicks want to fucking come into this studio and make a show, I will produce it for 50%.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's very reasonable.
It is. The sign's going to stay up, though.
Sure.
It's got to, branding-wise, it's just got to be me.
No, I think that's fair. I think you should superimpose your face over their faces, honestly.
Or
your body over their bodies. Keep their faces.
Yeah.
That's what the people want to see.
I was going to go their faces over our bodies.
Yeah, that's fine, too.
I got to laugh.
Yeah.
That's great. That probably didn't get picked up on the mics, but.
What's next door?
It is a dress shop.
Oh, cool.
And it is dress season.
There's probably hot ladies in there. Let's go next door.
Go ahead.
Not so much?
I don't know if they're of age.
What?
Maybe like a quinceanera kind of
store. Okay. Well, we'll be popular in Van Nuys.
Yeah, and Panorama City.
There you go.
Very geographical specific jokes.
Yeah. It's where the Jews live.
This is a very foreign audience.
Is it? You get international muscle?
Lots and lots of Australian folks.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're dangerous people.
They have dangerous spiders and snakes.
Yeah, they have dangerous everything. They have crocodiles that swim in the ocean. It's horrifying.
Yeah, I want to go there so bad because every Australian girl I have ever met has been like, oh, I love your accent, and I can't do theirs, obviously, as I just proved.
But
terrible.
I think I could be the Jim Jefferies of Australia in reverse.
I like that. Yeah, they're beautiful, too. A lot of really pretty Australian girls. Oh,
the Gold Coast.
That accent kind of bums me out, though.
You don't like it? What's your favorite accent on a lady?
On a lady?
Well, do you prefer ladies, correct?
I do, unfortunately. I like, I mean, no accent, honestly, is the cutest.
Okay, well then.
Maybe like a little sassy, like a Puerto Rican early 90s Rosie Perez.
All right.
He's very hot. But Australian is up there for the worst.
Like okay.
Cockney British.
And then Boston's by far the worst.
You are literally naming my top three.
Dude, a hot chick and then she's from Boston.
Oh, God damn
I'll suck your cock. Come on.
Let's go, dude.
Fucking homo.
Ugh.
It's the worst.
It's so tough. It's like, yeah. I love it. I love it. I get along the best with British people. I think they get sarcasm.
British people are awesome, yeah.
Yeah.
They have comedy innately in their bones, which is dope.
Yeah. And there's like pretty British accents for sure. But like the Cockney, like anything that sounds like you could knife me is not an accent I find attractive.
Man, I love it.
I like a girl that will actually knife me. Yeah. Just the voice I don't like.
Oh, got it. So you want them to be like sweet on the outside and sour on the inside.
No, mean all around. I want them to be very nice to me for like a week and a half, mm-hmm. and then just awful. That's really exciting.
Forever?
On and off, you know, and then they're very nice and then awful. And then they're like, I love you. And then they leave and then they come back. Right. It's mostly like
I loved you.
Addiction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should say this. I won't say anybody.
Say it.
I'm not going to say anybody specific, but there is an allure to a type of woman that is like hard to get.
Uh-huh.
And is also very, very tough.
Yeah.
But then once you get into her inner circle and you're her guy,
yeah,
then she's like mean to everybody but me.
See, I like all of that, except when you're in the inner circle, it's still the same thing. So it's like she's loving and then the next day has no feelings at all because she's a lunatic, you know, generally. It's like gambling with your emotions. It's like the highest stakes of gambling.
It really
is. It sounds like the house always loses.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
No, it's not a good thing.
Oh.
You will die from it.
You like it.
But there's no rush higher. It's like doing cocaine while surfing. It's crazy.
It's like me trying to defend my actual gambling addiction.
Yeah. No, I have no defense for this.
Okay.
I'm just saying if you want to feel good.
So I can't talk you out of it.
Absolutely not. No, I've been working on it and nothing's helping.
If you were able to date multiple women at a time, would you have like an emotionally supportive, kind girlfriend in the mix? Like if you had three, like...
Well, something's really wrong with me because I was doing that for years out here. I moved out here with a girl. She's lovely. We were together for 3 years. Didn't work out. Like we were just at different places, but she's great. And then I was just like, I'm not doing serious stuff anymore. Mm-hmm. Just dating casually and did that
for years. And then the first girls that I like the past two have just been like crazy people.
Mm.
And because I'm crazy, clearly.
Okay.
It has to be like the call's coming from inside the house. It has to be the case, you know? Like, because it's what I think it's because I was like hooking up so much
that like it is like an addiction thing to where it's like now the only higher high is like you involve your emotions in it.
Yeah.
And it's emotionally unpredictable. Like the excitement of the chase,
right?
But now it's like your emotions are also involved, and then it's terrifying.
But isn't it like sadly predictable though? Or do you think like today going to be good or is today going to be bad?
Yes.
You wake up, that's the excitement.
Yes.
Am I going to have a good day or a bad day?
Right, and it's just totally based on dealing with this lunatic that I've decided to give my emotional feelings to. But to be fair, I do get bamboozled pretty easily. It's not like I'm like walking in knowing it, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's usually a girl who's like, oh, I love you. I'm crazy about you. Like a love bombing thing.
Right.
I fall for that.
Yeah.
And then I'm like,
who wouldn't?
It's tough not to.
Someone just pours affection and time and interest into you.
Especially in the city, you're doing stand up, you're lonely. Also, like if a girl says she loves me right away, I'm like, yeah, of course, that makes sense.
Yeah.
They all egotistical.
Do.
That should absolutely be the way it is.
Why doesn't everyone else?
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're working on it.
I often wonder. With the, you know, there's recently, and when I say recently, I mean within the last 2 to 3 years, there's been an outcry of like impropriety from some people in the comedy community. I'm not pointing any fingers or any names, and I don't know who did what. But I say all that to say, I moved here with my band in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if we had attained any level of success where we would have had fans,
yeah,
I don't know how I would have handled all of that affection from the opposite sex.
What, you mean if you were a rock star, you don't know if you would have fucked your fans?
Yes.
Yeah, of course. What are you talking? That's what this is.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm saying. I would have 100%
of course.
Capitalized on the opportunity.
It's absurd that, you can't do illegal things. That's bad. You should also be somewhat considerate of who you're having sex with and not take advantage of people. That's given. Mm-hmm. But, like, the fact that people are, like, considered, like, bad because it's like, yeah, they fuck a lot of their fans. It's like, what do you think? I don't fucking know.
If it's two willing participants, go for it.
But the thing is now, like a person can be a willing participant and then
at the time,
6 months later,
change
they're like, ah, just kidding.
Ugh.
And like, depending on how old they are, there's some validity to that.
Mm-hmm.
That can be true. Like if you're fucking, dude, I won't even like speak to an 18-year-old just because it's an 18-year-old woman to me, girl, they look like children still. They have like a baby face. It's not attractive.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever, technically legal. But if you're an old dude and you hook up with an 18-year-old, they don't like your, I don't know, your capacity isn't necessarily the best to make like sound decisions if it's somebody that has some position of authority, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
There is an argument to be made there. But I don't know. Like, is it worth ruining someone's whole life over? Probably not.
I feel bad if I get flirty with a 30-year-old.
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa. I mean, this feels a little creepy.
Yeah, like I don't try to. I went out with a 21-year-old accidentally a couple of weeks ago, I didn't know.
She like was, middle of the date, you're like, so, and then you're like,
no, she came into where I work, and then I got her number, and then went out, and she was 21, and she's beautiful. But it was like, yeah, this isn't going to work. Like, you've had one boyfriend, mm-hmm. you know? I accidentally sleep with three people a month. It's not going to work out.
Accidentally.
Yeah.
So that must mean that you're exposed to meeting new people quite often.
Sometimes, I don't know, stand up or whatever. I don't do the apps or anything.
Oh man, I'm newly back on the apps.
That's, yeah, I hate them. They're stupid.
They don't work. Although I met my last one on the apps.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a waste of energy. Most of dating in this city is a waste of energy.
I'll be on the apps when I'm in the bathroom. And I think as of today, I've decided a no phone in the bathroom policy anymore because I'm spending too much time in the bathroom. But I will swipe until I'm like, this is the most incredible waste of time I could possibly do. And then I put my phone down and get out of the bathroom.
And even if you like meet up with somebody that you like have similar interests in or you connect or whatever, like I had so many instances where I would do that and we'd be talking for day. And then when push came to shove, it wouldn't work. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't meet up or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just such a letdown. It's such a waste of energy.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
It's way more effective to spend your whole life trying to build a fan base and notoriety on the internet.
Yeah, and then get your life destroyed as soon as you enact some type of romance with any of them.
That's right.
But I think the key for me is I'm trying not to do any of that shit and just focusing on like important stuff rather than ladies and dating. Because it's,
yeah,
it really is like if you work on your shit and like try to become like happy alone, that's really when you meet somebody of value.
Yeah.
It really seems to be. I mean, that's been the case for me. Whenever I'm like seeking it or chasing it, I just end up with people who are in the same position, unreliable. We're not emotionally where we should be. And shit
gets mirror image of yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. I keep telling myself that like I was working on my own shit yesterday and I wanted to take a break. I just want to have some lunch and like watch some TV.
Mm-hmm.
But I had like all these edits that I had to review. I was like, I can eat lunch and continue working.
Yeah.
But then my smaller self was like, no, man, just there's that episode of that TV show you want to watch. And then I have this reoccurring thought that motivates me is that like I can watch all that shit later. Like once I have freed up the time to like hire people to do all this time consuming stuff, like just do the work now so you don't have to do the work when you're old, like
you're down the road.
Yeah. Like I don't want to be 60 editing for 12 hours a day.
No, for sure. But also like. Yeah, you don't want to wait till you're 60 to enjoy being alive.
Yeah, there's got to be a little bit of a balance.
Yeah, you got to have some self-care. I'm learning about it. Take a bath.
Yeah. My form of self-care, I think, is attached to alcohol.
That's not self-care.
Well, what I'll do is instead...
Cause I think that's self-destruction.
It is.
Pretty usually. That's
And I agree. But for in the form of self-care that I think of it in, I will go... Like if I go, like I don't have a day off for 10, 15, 20 days in a row, I will get drunk to the point where I don't feel like doing anything the next day. And I'm like, it's a hangover day.
That's pretty funny.
I don't have to do anything today.
That's how you get your excuse.
That's how I not just, do anything. Yeah, just burn a whole Saturday sitting on the beach or on the couch and order Thai food or whatever.
I'm kind of the same way. I don't drink, but like when I'll get sick, I get sick rarely. But when I do, it's kind of like,
dial it in. Get out of bed. Not leaving this couch.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah.
I hear that. Yeah, I don't fucking know, man. It's this whole business is so like luck based a lot and blah 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 whatever.
I hope so. I'm a pretty lucky guy.
Are you good?
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know if I am. I don't probably not. But you can't like get too invested in it when it becomes not fun. It's like I just the second they like doing stand-up's not fun. I'm like, all right, I'm stopping for. Couple days.
Yeah, I think the thing for me is that I started late, so I've spent years trying to find the shortcut, which everybody's like, there isn't one, and I was like, haha, I'll show you.
Yeah.
And it turns out there actually isn't one. Yeah. And that I don't want to end up going like, am I starting something that actually does take 15 years to get really, really good at and be 57 when I make it? Like and I also don't want to be like too old still trying to make it. Like I'm trying to like hedge my bets.
I see.
Like, do I keep going? Will it work out? I just need a crystal ball.
Yeah, but you have like a whole nother like skill set that you do to make money, right? So it's not like I'm still working in restaurants part time. Like that sucks. But you have like a thing that
you enjoy doing this shit, right? Oh, I love this, but this costs me money.
No, but I mean like filming and like working for other people and helping them, or do you hate it entirely?
I
Like you shot our buddy. Well, that was a free thing, but
yeah,
whatever. Like stuff like that.
I work on other people's podcasts for money now because the film business is slow.
Right.
But I'm not like get up and go gusto, super stoked about it as I am coming here and talking on my own show.
Were you that? Did you enjoy doing the commercial stuff, like working in?
Oh, I hated it when I had no other options.
Yeah.
And then when I stepped out and started the podcast studio, before that I had a wood shop. So in my down days, yeah, I would go. I make 3D gradient wood art.
Oh, that's sick.
It's awesome. I love it. I'll show you pictures after this. But that's what got me into podcasting, because I'd be there all day listening to podcasts while I was working on wood. And then I was like, I want to do podcasts. Shut that thing down. Start a podcast studio. And I love this. If I can turn this into my job, that's great. But I started it because I was reverse engineering like famous comedians.
Yeah.
So I've tied this podcast to comedy. Mm-hmm. In a way that, like, I have to be successful at this to be successful at that. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is that if this show works out and I can just talk to comedians, I don't have to be one to talk to comedians.
No.
And if I can make a living just talking to comedians on TV or the internet or wherever, then I don't have to go to Milwaukee on the weekend and do seven
shows. Yeah. No, for sure. Yeah, it's kind of like the new thing, actually.
But doing comedy is fucking awesome.
It can be.
I love it.
Sometimes it's not.
Yeah, that's true.
Comedy is a real fickle mistress.
It's the best hour of your day if you get to do an hour.
Or the worst.
Yeah.
It's the best or the worst.
Even if it's not going great, I am still having a pretty good time.
That's good.
It's very funny to me to make that many people uncomfortable at one time.
It's not, for me, what it is, like, I've been doing it 10 years. And when it's... I usually enjoy it quite a bit. But when it's a situation where I'm going into it and I know, like, this just isn't going to be good and it's not going to be fun and there's none of my tricks are working and none of, like, at a certain point, I just get to... I have the opposite of people-pleasing, whatever the fuck that is.
Mm.
Like, so, which is a bad thing. Like, people, like, I don't care. Like, at a certain point, I'm like, all right, I've tried. Fuck you guys. Like, this, if you don't want to be here or this sucks or this situation sucks, like, why are we pretending? Like, I'll just leave. This is dumb.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't give a shit. And I don't, like, walk off stage, but I, like I said, I have a hard time, like, faking enthusiasm if it sucks.
Man, I admire that because I possess an incredible gene of people pleasing. I want everybody to be happy.
That's
all
a very good
time.
Skill. It's a very good character defect to have in this business. It'll kill you eventually.
It just makes you feel small all the fucking time because you're like, I just agreed with someone that I don't agree with to make me seem hangoutable. And it's,
well, I mean, we all do that. So I'm not like immune to that kind of stuff for sure. But yeah, I don't know. There's. I see what you're saying.
But on the flip side, if any of my closest five friends right now are listening to this, they're like, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. You're an asshole. You do whatever you want. You don't care about anybody else. Like, I do care about other people. But, like, people would describe me as someone who just does their own thing.
Right.
But I feel like in work situations, like, if I'm on set, I'm, like, very, I don't know.
That's what you got to do.
Professional, I guess.
That's what you got to do.
I don't know. I'm going through a whole rebrand internally of, like, who I am and what I think I am and what I actually am.
I like that.
It's a struggle that I'm exposing on the internet for 2 hours a week.
Yeah, I've been doing that too. After this, I had a tough past year, and it's been a lot of, like, what the fuck do I really like? Dude, I love stand up. I love it. I really do. I love doing it. I love a lot of the people in it, but there's so much surrounding it that I loathe that I'm like. And it's also like there becomes a certain point in life where it's like, okay, I'm good at this thing and it brings people some joy, I think, sometimes. But, like, do I have other abilities that are more of worth to the fucking world than this?
That could help the world more than just being about me being, like, cool, you know?
Do you mean, like, can I write a funny sketch that 8 million people are going to see as opposed to, like, I'm going to go to...
No, I mean, like, could I help people in Indonesia who are dying? Like,
oh, like,
is there
do
a way
real
to be
good.
More useful? Yeah.
Yeah.
And fucking stroke my ego multiple days a week and, like, convince myself that I'm doing good things.
I would argue that bringing laughter to people in a shareable format does good in a world where we're over-consuming content.
Yes, it does. But it's also...
It's hard to mitigate that with your own ego.
So, like, anything that is of real value, I think, to the world
shouldn't also be making you think that you're the shit. Like, if you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
if half of this business is people thinking that they're awesome.
Yeah.
And that's not good. Like, it's just not a good thing. Like, that needs to be leveled out, particularly for me. Like, when I get on, like, I'm the shit type of thing. Mm-hmm. I hate that. And the opposite's true. Like, I'm the worst because of it's so gauged on how well stand-up is going or how much you're getting booked that it's like, I could be just doing good somewhere else without any of that part of it.
Yeah. Could you be the funniest guy in Indonesia?
Yeah.
Building wells or whatever they do.
Yeah, whatever. Like, I don't know. I think it's also like I've proven to myself like I'm good at this thing and I'm happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
That to me, like,
I don't need to be famous to... I know, like, being famous and rich is not the answer, like, to problems. I know that internally. Like, I 100%, like, I'm aware of that. So I don't have this delusion, I think, that when I get to there, I'll be happy, which is a problem.
I definitely have that delusion.
Yeah, it's not true.
Oh.
At all. Sorry.
Well, that's our show, folks. I'm going to shut this place down right now, rip all the shit down off the wall.
Dude, it's fucked. But it's real. Like,
Yeah.
When I got sober, I was 25, and I had, like, this spiritual stuff, all that stuff, and there came a time where I was the happiest I've ever been in my life. I was working some job. I had, like, girlfriend and whatever, and I knew, like, I don't need anything else to be happy, like, truly joyous, and it terrified me
because
I was like, I don't want to – I'm going to go do this anyway. Like, I want to pursue this thing.
Yeah, but that's, I think, true.
Like, truly true. And that's not a good thought to know when you're trying to pursue something as difficult as, you know, the arts or whatever. I think you need a delusion that it's going to fix all my problems.
Yeah. When I say that I believe fame and fortune will fix my problems, what I mean is the money will provide freedom and access to time.
And the fame is validation for the work.
There's some dude, I forgot who it is, but he was like, do you think you need to be famous, rich and famous? He's like, try just being rich and see if that doesn't solve most of the problems. But yeah, for sure. Having
that's
money.
The hard part is the rich. I mean, fame is it. You could be famous and broke, which fucking, that's got to suck.
Yeah. If you're like killing prostitutes or something.
Well, I mean, I think you could be famous and rich without.
No, that's the only way.
That's it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. We'll be right back after we kill all these prostitutes.
We'll go next door to the quinceañera.
Yeah. No, it's like... yeah, I don't fucking know. I don't know what I'm talking about also. Who the fuck? I don't know shit.
Well, I mean, we just passed the hour mark, so everybody tuned out 18 minutes ago.
Perfect.
So feel free to dump all your cancelable shit.
Really espouse what I'm all about.
Yeah, get it all out.
Well, you want to shout out your soch?
Sure. It's Rob Pug Comic on Instagram. Give it a follow. Yeah, the Red Rob Roy Show will have new episodes on Amazon and elsewhere, probably in the fall, hopefully, maybe the winter. What else we got? Yeah,
that's it.
Those two things are the main deals.
No YouTubes?
Yeah, it's the same thing. No Charisma is the YouTube channel. We post a lot of that stuff, sketches and all that stuff. And yeah, but it's all the same kind of deal. But yeah, check one of them out, you know, for God's sakes.
I mean, that's the whole reason he spent an hour with us, folks. You got to check his shit out. He's not here for me.
That's not true. I came just for you, sir.
Oh, well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks for having me, dude.
Thanks for coming, man. Thanks for offering, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. You brought it up, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah, of course.
And I enjoy the cigar sundaes.
We got to do more of those. I love them.
We got to, yeah. Okay, before we wrap it up, I smoked two cigars last Sunday. Mm-hmm. I had a dark one, mm-hmm. and then I had the light one that I had yesterday.
Mm.
Didn't have the same cigar hangover that I'm having this week.
I
just had the light one.
Yeah.
So does that mean I like the dark ones better?
Well, you mean you didn't have a cigar hangover because you just had one?
Yeah.
I think it's just because you had one.
Oh, if you have two, you don't have the hangover.
Wait, you had two and you did have?
I had two the week prior. I had a very dark, heavy one.
Yeah.
And then Vinny helped me cut like just a tiny little hole in it. So I wasn't pulling hard. Yesterday, Drew was like, oh, just chop the whole end of it off. You'll get better pulls.
Mm-hmm.
And it was going out a lot. So I was puffing and putting it down for like 5 minutes. And then I was relighting it multiple times. And I just couldn't get the taste out of my mouth like all night. Didn't sleep good last night. Worked out for like an hour this morning, just sweating cigar out.
Interesting. It probably might be the cut. Yeah. I didn't sleep good last night either. I had two cigars yesterday.
Mm.
And I didn't realize it. It's probably because of that.
I didn't even put those two together.
Yeah.
Yeah. It might be just that you're pulling harder. That's probably what it is. That makes the most sense to me.
I'm going to go with a smaller cut next time.
Yeah. I didn't immediately, I think, got addicted to them because we've been like a couple times and now I'm like looking forward to cigars and I've never smoked cigars before.
Yeah, I was never good at it. I had one cigar and I was like in the middle of when I was a smoker and I started inhaling it and I immediately just threw up everywhere. And I was like, it's like the first shitty bottle of like whatever. And Southern Comfort, right?
Oh, yeah,
Chug a whole bottle when you're 17. You're like, never drinking Southern Comfort ever again. I don't know if anybody's ever bought two bottles of Southern Comfort.
That's a one bottle drink your whole life.
Yeah. Or like Goldschlager or whatever.
I mean, I used to drink Jägermeister almost exclusively, so.
I mean, that was the time, though, right? It was, they had the coolers. And they've converted.
Coolers were great.
Those little, the bottles fit three on top of the thing, and the shot came and got Red Bull with it.
Dude, I would get, that was what I would drink. I would get one of the $30 bottles and drink it to myself per night. It was bad.
That's expensive.
It's actually not that bad. It's like $20.
Oh.
But yeah.
Well, they converted all those machines to Fireball machines now.
Oh, is that right? Is that the new thing the kids are into?
Yeah, Fireball. Cinnamon whiskey.
I like that. Okay.
Yeah. You should try some.
I will. If I go back out.
This is Fireball. The show that convinces you to just jump off the wagon. And that's me doing good in the world, folks.
That's your highest good in this universe.
I'm breaking alcoholics on one person at a time and getting them back on booze.
Making them cool again.
That's right.
Let's make comics cool again.
Make them smoke cigarettes, make them drink alcohol, and come to Vegas with me.
I fucking love it, dude. I'll do some mushrooms. Let's do some mushrooms sometime.
All right.
I'm down for that.
Come to Vegas on Wednesday.
I don't know about that, but
all right.
I'm down to do them sometime.
Okay.
Vegas on Wednesday is, sounds, what are you just going just to go for that?
I have a friend from North Carolina that's coming in. He comes about twice a year with his wife.
Oh, sick.
And the three of us will play what we call corporate. So we will all stick the same denomination of money in a machine and we'll take turns hitting the button. And if we win, we split the money.
That's fun.
Yeah.
What's the most you ever won?
We did okay.
Yeah, really?
A couple times.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like you don't want to mention it.
I mean, like, okay, like everybody's definition of wealth is different. So, like, I don't want to go like, oh, we won $2,500. No big deal. And somebody at home's like, that's a lot of money. Or somebody else at home is going, $2,500.
Yeah.
If you win any more than $1,200 at one button press, they have to come out and physically give you what's called a hand pay. And it's exactly what it sounds like. They take money and put it in your hand.
Is that right?
You have to fill out a tax form.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
Sick. I've never won any money anywhere.
Yeah. I'll tell you one last story about a director I used to work with that took us all to Vegas. We did some fucking aerosol spray fancy commercial or whatever, and the director took all the department heads to Vegas except me, and I was like, can I go? And he was like, sure, but whatever. So we're playing playing craps, and one of the guys is telling me, he's like, so the director 2 weeks ago came and he won $150,000.
Damn.
But he kept the chips and flew home with them, and he comes out every 2 days and brings $10,000 in chips and cashes them out. Because I think any more than $9,999, you got to do like special tax forms for the chips.
Okay.
It's different for slots. So one week he brought, or one trip, he brought three $5,000 chips. And he's walking past the craps table and they recognize him. They're like, oh, Mr. So-and-so, how's it going? He flicks the $5,000 chip on the table and says, plays where it lies. Of course, the pit boss has to be asked whenever. He's like, sure. It landed on Snake Eyes, which is 31-1. And it hit.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
Are you serious?
Yep. The next morning, he went up, went across town, and lost $65,000 playing blackjack.
Vegas always wins, baby.
Vegas always wins.
That's crazy.
They give it to you, and then they take it back from you.
I'll tell you a quick one. It's really crazy, though.
Sure.
This girl I used to know, we played, I'm from Connecticut. Foxwoods is there.
Oh, yeah.
Vegas Casino, or it was. I don't know if it is. And they had a poker room. And
oh, I love poker.
They don't card you at the poker room.
On purpose?
No, they just don't. Like, you walk in and you sit down and you start playing.
That's a funny way to say it. They don't card you in the poker room.
Well, like...
like, they don't check your ID.
Yes.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah. So this girl was 17 and she used to go every week and play. And she was, like, pretty good. Mm-hmm. And they do the bad beat there.
Yep.
Which is if you're at a table that has, I think it's like, if a straight flush beats four of a kind, whatever, it's a huge payout.
Everybody gets paid.
It's a bonus. Yeah.
The two people playing, if it's heads up, the two people will get the most money, and then everyone else on the table gets a couple grand.
So this chick was at a table, and the bad beat happened, and she was supposed to get $100,000. And instead, they carded her, arrested her, and banned her for life. Isn't that fucking crazy?
I can't wait to clip that story.
Dude, that's nuts.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's as bad as it gets.
Ugh.
She killed herself.
No, I'm kidding.
Great. We made it all the way to the end without the unalive
joke.
I
had to do it.
Thanks for watching, everybody. We will see you next week or whenever I feel like posting the next episode.